Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, we help a Wausau-based organization celebrate its 10-year anniversary, helping homeless veterans, people with dependency problems, and families in financial need. Back in 2001, Ralph and Linda Larson Schlitz co-founded Randlin Homes, and a decade later, the organization has brought housing and job assistance to more than 600 people and has grown from one six-bedroom home to a total of 46 beds. The organization gives its residents training and work and operates two thrift stores that are invaluable in providing low-cost goods to those who are in need. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today, here in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios, we welcome Ralph and Linda Larson Schlitz to talk about what they've accomplished with Randlin Homes, what challenges lie ahead, and to try to get a handle on the problem of homeless veterans in central Wisconsin and how the Great Recession is affecting those in need in our own backyard. We invite you to join the conversation, particularly if you're concerned about the problem of homelessness, if you think we need specifically to do more to address the problem as it affects veterans, and especially if you know Ralph and Linda, and if you're someone who has either worked with Randlin Homes or been someone who's helped by the organization or whose life has been changed by it. Please give us a call. Join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Ralph and Linda, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're a faith-based, nonprofit 501c3 organization. Tell us what your mission is and how you've accomplished it.
Well, our mission is to help homeless veterans primarily, but others in a family environment, faith-based family environment, where they'll receive the services they need to become self-sufficient.
Where did you get your name?
The name came from Randy and Linda Thompson, who were people that I grew up with. Linda, her last name was Larson, too, and we had a music ministry, and we traveled around and sang, and we met Randy Thompson in Phoenix. And they have recorded numerous CDs, as Linda and I have one, too. But Ralph, I introduced Ralph to Randy's music, and it really had a positive influence in his life. And when he met him, their ministry is one where they don't charge anybody for them to travel around. And we wanted to have a ministry like that, where we didn't have to charge people. We just wanted to provide the services and trust that God would provide the needs so that we could keep doing what we're doing.
Music has a way of getting through to people, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes, very much so.
And I understand Randy and Linda performed at your 10th anniversary celebration. Tell us about that.
Yes, they came up from Phoenix last weekend, and they put on a concert for us at St. John's Episcopal Church.
And before we get into the meat and potatoes about the issues that the two of you deal with, let's talk about some of the things that are going on with Randlin Homes right now. And Linda, we chatted briefly on the phone, and you gave me a whole laundry list of a lot of changes that are happening to your organization. So why don't we hit that right at the top of the hour so we're sure we don't forget as the hour goes by. First of all, you're closing down one thrift store and opening another?
That's right. We are closing down our store on 8th Avenue in Sherman Street, which, thank God for Arden Emmerich, has allowed us to use that building for the last 2 years to really keep our organization afloat. Heating is really expensive, like $3,000 a month.
It's a big place.
It's a huge place, and it's been a great service, but it's really we wanted more, a smaller place and one with more visibility, and we were able to get one on First Avenue and Bridge Street, which was the Ace Plumbing Building, and we are ready to open that, just waiting on the city to do some approvals, and then we will be opening that one. We still have our 6th Street store open. We've made some changes there. So
Bridge Street is, boy, that's a high-volume artery into and out of Wausau, so that's a very visible location.
It's one of the busiest that we are told, the busiest corner, 28,000 cars a day, they say, go by that corner.
And the new store isn't going to be as big as
right.
as the place that you've got right now that's tucked into the West Side neighborhood here in Wausau. What kind of changes are you making to it?
Well, we are not going to have the huge quantities of clothes. We are not actually even going to have clothes at that building. We are going to have primarily furniture. We had a lighting company go out of business, so we have brand new chandeliers and lights and outdoor lights and lots of antiques and those kinds of things. So it'll be really high-end, brand new stuff still in boxes at that particular store.
Well, it'll be a lot different than the other store. Where do people, poor people, go to get the clothing and the other low-end items that they're going to need?
Well, they'll be able to go to our 6th Street store, because at that store we're still going to have the lower-end items. We're going to have clothing at that store, and we'll have toys for the kids that they always pick up, some sports equipment that they're always looking for, and household items.
Okay. But at the new Bridge Street store, you're talking about some high-end items that people can get at a discount?
Yeah, huge discount. I mean, it's still going to be a fraction of the cost that they would pay for somewhere else, but it's going to be really nice stuff. And we're hoping to draw people, without that thrift store mentality. People think thrift store, they think, yuck, somebody's junk. That is not what we have in this store.
Well, these stores serve a very important role for your organization, too. You're completely funded by them, I mean, for the most part, right?
Yes.
Right. And that's the other reason why we needed to make the change. The Neighbor's Place has been the place to do the kind of service that we've almost taken over to some extent as far as giving away furniture. We give away over 1,000 bags of clothes for the fill a backpack, fill a need, fill a bag of clothes. And we, again today, someone came in and they were moving and needed furniture, so we just gave them a household full of furniture. We aren't going to be able to do that, but we need to be making more money than we have been making in order to meet our budget, which is still very low because we have, we only have 1.5 paid staff. So the whole organization is operated by the resident students themselves.
So you've got people coming into your organization, getting assistance from you, but they're doing a lot of the training and a lot of the other things that are associated with it.
Yes.
Just checking my notes here, you've got an art gallery, something called the Hope Gallery, and tell us about that. That's going to be moving into the 6th Street location now. What's that all about?
Right. We've got some tremendously talented people that we work with. We've got volunteers. We've got people within the organization. And we've already got their artwork on the walls, and we are going to be selling it on a consignment basis. We've got people who make things. We have a guy that does furniture, makes furniture, and his stuff now is at the other store. But that way they can generate some income. And now we're teaching classes, so people will be able to learn some skills where they can generate some income.
Classes in what?
Well, I'm teaching painting. I do landscape painting. The gentleman that does makes the furniture.
The woodworking?
Woodworking. He's going to be able to teach. We have someone that teaches the small engine repair classes. Janet she does a lot of painting, but she also teaches ceramics and sewing and lots of other things. So as community members step forward to help us teach more classes, we'll be offering more classes.
Now, you've got some other fundraising things going on. You're raffling off a Harley motorcycle?
Yep, a Harley Fat Boy Low 1584, I think it is, CCs. And people are excited about that. Yep. And then we've got the coupon books. And this is a tremendous deal through the Migrate Deals company that started to help nonprofits earn more money. So we are selling this coupon book that's got $3,000 worth of coupons, and it's only $10. And Ranland Homes gets $7 of that $10.
And these are coupons for local businesses?
Yes.
And they give you discounts when you go to shop there?
Yeah, tons of things. County Market's got more coupons in there than the book is at, than you have to pay for the book. So you can save, I think it's $17 at County Market. You only pay $10 for the book. And there's Ball Wigs, and there's Mickey's Pool, and there's lots of different places.
All right. And while we're doing the shameless self-promotion here, your website and a phone number where people can reach you if they're interested in any of the stuff that we've been talking about.
That's right. And they can actually order online with PayPal if they want to order order some of our goods. And we're trying to get our whole store up there in our gallery, but they can get a little taste of what we've got in our gallery by going on our website.
It's randlinhomes.org, correct?
Right, that's it. Yes.
And then is there a phone number that you prefer to give out for people to reach you? I've got the one in the phone book, 298-3700.
That's it.
Okay. Ralph and Linda Schlitz, who operate Randlin Homes. They've been doing this for the past 10 years, and as you said, you've got 1.5 full-time people or positions. How many volunteers do you folks work with?
Over 60. Over 60 volunteers. Some come and go, but all of our residents, there's a couple that are working full-time, so they aren't real involved in things. But then we've got people from the W-2 welfare to work program. We've got people from corrections that come and help out. We've got the senior citizen 55 and older program. We have a number of those people that are working with us too.
Do judges work you into the criminal justice system sometimes when they're Ralph, can you explain that to me?
Occasionally we've had some workers from there that have come straight to us, and they've really been a big help. They need to do some corrective time and
community service,
and they've got so many hours that they have to put in for to pay off fines, and so we've taken them, and they've been a big help to us.
We've also had, Glenn, some judges, as you had mentioned, one from Oneida County, one from Wood County, one from Adams County, And at times from Marathon County, too, where people are more or less sentenced to Randlin Homes. Our first resident was in 2002 who was going to be revocated and sent back to prison, and they placed him at Randlin Homes for a year instead, and he successfully completed that year at Randlin Homes and has been living independently without any trouble since.
Ralph and Linda Larson Schlitz, Randlin Homes. They've helped 600 people during the 10 years of their existence. They have really focused on people with chemical dependency problems, but also homeless people and specifically homeless veterans. We're going to be getting into all of that when we come back after this short break. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. You are listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guests today, Ralph and Linda Schlitz, as we talk about the 10-year anniversary of Randlin Homes in Wausau. Ralph, we understand that Randlin Homes began its mission in December of the year 2000 and then early in 2001 to provide a safe place for chemically dependent and for homeless veterans to recover. What was the genesis of you coming up with that mission?
The genesis of that was that I had worked in some other homes over the years, and being in recovery myself, I had seen that there was a need for people who are in recovery, because they'd get out of treatment, then they had nowhere to go. And in a previous home that I had worked in, and so we decided to start our own. And they would come to us, and we'd have them for a few months maybe, and then they'd go out, and then they relapsed.
Well, you think of the Salvation Army, you think of the Veterans Administration. Why weren't these organizations enough to take care of the problem?
Well, Salvation Army, you've got to be totally clean. If you relapse, you're out. They don't handle those kind of problems at all. Veterans Administration is they'll work with you, but you have to have 2 weeks clean time before you can even get into a program.
So you, in essence, have become sort of the resource of last resort for a lot of people.
Yeah, we have.
Tell us about the fact that a lot of veterans aren't even being able, they can't even be helped by the Veterans Administration.
That was an awakening to us, because I assumed that if you're a veteran, you're going to get the services from the VA. But that's not true. They've got a lot of rules and regulations, and people who serve during a peacetime when there wasn't an active war going on, they don't qualify for veteran benefits. People who have been in the National Guard, if they have not been in active duty for a long enough time or during wartime, they don't qualify. People who may have had some problems and got a less than honorable discharge, they don't qualify for benefits. So the majority of the veterans that we've had have been those fall through the cracks veterans that aren't getting the services yet, are very ill and need the help.
And back in 2001, Ralph, you were already operating a treatment center for chemically dependent people, is that correct?
I had been back in 2000, I had been working, I had been partners with another gentleman, and we had been running a house for over a year, and we disbanded that partnership.
And then you saw a need that wasn't being met.
And we saw a need that wasn't being met. It was being met by he and I, but the need was still much greater than that.
And again, this involved a lot of veterans who were homeless and who couldn't find assistance for one
yes.
reason or another.
Yes.
What made you aware that this problem was as big as it was?
Well, Linda, you want to?
Well, I became aware of the veteran problem working at the job center with my coworker Gary Albrecht, who was the outreach person who would go to the Salvation Army. And at that point in time, there was five or six veterans almost at all times down at Salvation Army. And that was just scratching the surface of the number of veterans that we knew were out there and were homeless. And not being able to get someone a job when they're living under a bridge brought us to the point where we need to do something. And so many of those veterans also didn't qualify for the VA because they weren't medically or mentally stable. Even if they did have VA benefits, they couldn't go to the VA homeless
program.
Well,
so there's a catch-22. You're homeless because you're mentally and maybe physically unstable, but you can't have your homelessness taken care of because you're mentally and physically unstable.
That's right.
Correct.
Kind of an oxymoron.
And both of you kind of, I mean, you've got personal experience with this. Both of you have had problems with chemical dependency issues. Do either of you want to share that with us?
Well, I didn't know it, but I have ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, that I was born with and didn't really get that addressed. I started drinking at a very young age because that was what we did in our community and my family, and that was kind of normal. And I was fortunate to never get picked up for drinking or, you know, that sort of thing. And growing up in the 70s, that was kind of what you did, was get into drugs, smoke dope, that sort of thing. I quit drinking and using in 1976 when I came to know the Lord in a personal way, and didn't drink for 10 years. And then in 85, well, somebody said Jesus turned water into wine, so it must be an okay thing to do. And that kind of took me down a road again for another 10 years. And then in 96, I decided that this really wasn't serving me well. I mean, I wasn't having major problems, but I decided to quit drinking again in 96. And that's when I met Ralph at AA.
And Ralph, you had problems with prescription medication.
I had trouble with prescription medication, yes. Back in 1976, I had some major surgery done, and at that time I got addicted to prescription medication, narcotics for pain. And over the years, my medical condition just kind of worsened, and I just kept on getting more and more and got addicted to those. And then the alcohol just followed naturally after that.
And all of these things, you know, alcohol, drugs that are illegal, alcohol, of course, is a drug, and prescription medication, it's so ubiquitous in our society.
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. You watch late-night comedians, they make fun of it. It's part of our culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very difficult to change that, and so many events that you go to, whether it's church events or you know, any kind of business kinds of things, chamber meetings. Alcohol seems to be involved in so much of that that it's hard to get away from it, really.
So you saw a problem with chemical dependency, but also with homeless veterans. How many of them had chemical dependency issues?
Of the people that we have worked with, about 95% of the...
But not all.
Mm-hmm.
And you started off small. You had six beds initially?
We started out small with six beds. That's all I wanted was one house. And it kind of grew from there.
And where are you right now after 10 years, Ralph?
Right now after 10 years, we've got six houses.
And how many beds?
46.
Is that an indication of the need that you have to serve, or what caused the expansion of your facilities?
Well, it definitely says there's a need, and the expansion came from seeing that after they left, that when we had our first house, you know, they needed to have some transition after that, and then the apartments weren't enough, so we went to our second house. That still wasn't enough, so then we ended up with our 20-bed home. And then after they left the 20-bed, they still needed more transition. And there's still a need. We could build another house, and we'd have that one full within a month.
How does that work? Do you have homes that treat people right when they come in off the street, and then after they graduate from that, they go to a different facility, hopefully at the end of it, they've got their lives pieced back together.
Right. After when they're done we call it the 20-bed facility. But it's more like a dorm.
ETC, we just changed the name to the Education and Training Center.
they would move over to our house that's located on South 4th Avenue. And that house is more a transition house where those gentlemen have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's more freedom and independence over there. And that's also holds true for three of the other houses that are also out there.
And again, the residents are providing a lot of the training themselves because if they're in middle age, chances are they've got skills.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. Our program in the big house, the Education and Training Center dormitory, it is set up as a one-year training program with the idea that they come in, you know, they've been maybe chronically homeless. They really are kind of at the end of the rope. And so the first 30 days we do an assessment and work with the job center and look at the vocational and the medical and the mental health and look at what do they really need, what do they really want. And then we take them through, by the end of that point, we kind of have a direction. Do they want to go to school? What skills do they need? You know, what medical help do they need? And then we get them situated so that they go through the different series of opportunities in our program. So,
Ralph and Linda Larson Schlitz, the co-founders of Randall & Homes, celebrating its 10-year anniversary, will be talking about the problems of homeless veterans and how they've been helping after this news.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
Sam Stone came home to his wife and family after serving in the conflict overseas. And the time that he served had shattered all his nerves and left a little shrapnel in his knee. But the morphine eased the pain and the grass grew around his brain and gave him all the confidence he lacked. With a purple heart and a monkey on his back, there's a hole in daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios.
The song Sam Stone by John Prine, a Chicago-based folk artist, was released back in the early 70s about the problems some veterans have readjusting to society after war. And today on Route 51, we're talking to Ralph and Linda Larson Schlitz, who are the co-founders of Randall & Homes in Wausau, which has dealt with the problems of chemical dependency and the problems of homelessness specifically as they affect veterans. If you'd like to join the conversation, our lines are wide open right now. If the problems of that veterans face, the problems of homelessness, which is really something that's become particularly acute since we've entered the Great Recession a couple of years ago. If any of those are concerns, if you give us a call at 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742, we'd love to hear from you. And also, if you know Ralph and Linda, if you've been helped by Randall and Holmes, if the mission that they are on is something that touches you in a special way, give us a call to 1-800-780-9742. How big of a problem is this problem of homeless veterans in Marathon County?
Well, the estimates are probably low, I think, and the estimates are about 350 homeless veterans in Marathon County. Now, that's those statistics were drawn a few years ago when we didn't do such a great job of looking at, and our numbers weren't counted in the homeless veteran or the homeless population. So many veterans are not in the homeless shelters, and they're not coming to us. They're living in cars and such, so it's hard to count.
And sleeping under bridges?
Yes.
I mean, is that that's a cliche that everybody hears, but it's really happening.
It's true.
It's definitely true.
And it's so hard for so many of us who live in a place like Marathon County. We don't, you know, this isn't Chicago where you've got a problem with concentrated poverty in a ghetto or in slum areas. This is Marathon County, and the thought that veterans are sleeping under bridges is shocking.
It's very shocking to me. It was to me, and sleeping in garbage cans in the big metal containers, I could not believe that was happening. But when it's 10 below zero and you have no shelter, a nice warm box, even if it's metal, you know, you throw a blanket in there, it's better than nothing. It's better than in the elements.
So you've seen all of this from, this is something that you've personally witnessed.
Yes, personally witnessed and listened to the stories. And I know we've got a group of Christian people that do a soup ministry under the bridges. And they told me that there's 25, 30 families and people under bridges that they are serving soup to.
That's something I've never heard of before. Here in Marathon County, mm-hmm. There's a soup ministry that goes out to bridges to serve homeless veterans?
Yeah, they go searching for them. Not just veterans, but any homeless people that they come across. Now, whether or not they're all, you know, that they're hungry people that are locating them, I'm not real sure. But, yeah, I didn't know there was such a thing either here. So.
And how can we get an accurate tally of how big this problem is? I mean, that seems like it's one thing to talk about the qualitative nature of the problem, but to quantify it, how do you even add these people up?
Well, that's why they have a concerted effort right now to go and search for them and find them. Larry Payne is one of our marketing directors now, and he's been involved, and that was his job, and he wasn't able to be here today, but his job was to go and look for veterans under bridges for the Veterans Administration. So it is a effort to go and do that, but it's difficult, and some of them even they don't even want to admit, even when you do find them and you know. They don't consider themselves homeless if they're staying at a friend's house, even though they don't have a place to call their own and it may be temporary. It's very hard to identify exactly how many there are.
Is there a matter of pride that's involved here?
Oh, a great deal of pride is in there. You know, they served their country, they come back, and even though they don't have a place, they don't want to admit that they're homeless, that they couldn't make it.
I just ran into a gentleman this week who had his POW jacket on. He was actually coming out of a bar, and I told him what we were doing and was just trying to get some support. And he said, "Where were you when I was homeless?" I said, "Well, we were right here. Did you come and ask for help?" And he said, "No, I'm too proud for that." And that's the truth. You know, they did a great service to our country, and to see themselves end up at that point where they're homeless, it's just too hard for them to admit.
How many of these people end up in jail?
Well, we serve a population that is, again, not served by a lot of other people. Again, our statistics are about 90 to 95% of the people that we serve have been in jail, incarcerated at some point in time.
So, and getting back to what we said in the first half of the show, you really are the resource of last resort for these people, because they've been turned away by the Salvation Army or the Veterans Administration won't touch them for various reasons.
Mm-hmm. And there are, I mean, there are some that could go to Salvation Army, but they know what we do, and we're totally different than Salvation Army. You have to leave there at 8 in the morning. You can't come back to 4 in the afternoon. It's short-term. It's temporary. We have a family. That's the difference, and I think why we've been so successful. And if any of our guys are listening, you could call in and testify to that, because I think that's why it's worked as well as it is, because we try to be the family that many of them don't have.
What obstacles do you encounter trying to help homeless people in general and veterans in specifically?
Well, a lot of them, they just don't want to open up to what they've gone through. And we try to get them to open up and talk about, you know, what's happened. Many of them have gone through divorce, their family, and they have no family at all. So we're the family. And we try to get them to open up about that. And they don't want to talk about their drug use, their alcohol use, or that they've got mental health problems. That's a real big obstacle right there.
Another barrier is they don't have a good work history, a lot of them. They've lost jobs. So as far as getting them transitioned into real employment, that's difficult. Most of them have developed some kind of behavior or attitude or ways of communicating that don't serve them well. We've gotten a lot of these guys jobs, and they get fired or they quit, or some of them will go and get the first paycheck, and then they're off drinking again. So that's why our program is set up for 1 year, to try to get them beyond some of those behaviors.
Oh, that's a long-term program.
It's a long-term program, and some want it, some don't. But those, we've had many, many, and I'm going to count one of these days, how many have left and then come back and went, okay, I wasn't ready. I need more time. Can I come back? And some of our guys will probably never leave our program just because they now have that family. So we'll just keep opening more places rather than kicking people out to transition. We'll just keep opening more places. Why kick them out to go find something if they're doing well in the environment they're in?
Hey, Linda, you were telling me when we had a phone conversation earlier this week that you ran into at least one person who deliberately got arrested so that he could go to jail and find at least some shelter and some food.
That's right. Oh, and there's been a lot of those that we've met over the years because they didn't have any place else to go. And that's where we're at right now. I mean, we are heading into the season again, and there is no place for these people to go.
Are you full up at Randland Homes?
Right now we have 4 open beds. But of those 4 open beds, we've got 2 of them spoken for. The guys are just in jail right now waiting to get out.
Wow.
And they weren't open a week and a half ago. You know,
no.
We were totally full a couple of weeks ago. But we also run a strict program, Glenn. They've got to want it. If they don't want to stay clean and sober, if they don't want to get up and learn how to do these things and go to the store and do, you know, the training program, then this isn't the right fit for them, and maybe they're not ready. So some people will come in and kind of take it lightly and decide they still want to drink, and then they're gone. They're out. Because these beds are valuable, and they're for people who are seriously want to change their lives. So,
are there any common misconceptions about homeless people, things that people think apply to them that aren't really true?
Well, a lot of them think that their clothes are all really super dirty, and they're going to be dirty and scruffy and everything. You can be walking down the street in Wausau, and they can look just like you or I do, and you can't tell that they're homeless.
A lot of people think they're lazy. They just don't want to work. And I'll tell you, these people are some of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life. And they would do anything to get a job. But they just aren't out there. I'm the job counselor in 9 counties. And we used to be able to get them housed, clothed, and fed. And I could get them a job, Glenn. I can't get them a job anymore. I can't get a person that doesn't have any issues a job today.
And once again, the Great Recession has exacerbated this problem. How has it affected you personally?
Well, it's stressful, but it has put us in a position where when they were able to get a job, then they could pay some rent to try to, you know, cushion the cost and pay some of the housing. Right now, we have so few people working that nobody can pay the bills, so then we're forced to have to do these enterprise programs and these businesses to keep the program afloat.
You know, we encounter sometimes outright hostility toward the homeless in our culture. Rush Limbaugh mocks them on his radio show. He does homeless updates, you know, with funny music in the background and And I guess you can take that with a grain of salt, but on the other end of the scale, there are actually, you know, regular incidents reported of homeless people being beaten or killed, sometimes by young people seeking thrills. What is it about our culture that keeps us from opening our hearts to the people who are in need?
I don't really understand it myself. I think there is that sense of fear, maybe, fear of things that we don't understand. And I think some of it is that sense of, I don't want to be responsible because then I'm going to have to sacrifice something of myself. Or that people are just using and abusing other people. I'm not going to give myself, this is my stuff, my money, I'm not going to give it to somebody like that.
And there seems to be this conception that homeless people are lazy, that
right.
if they could just pull themselves up by their bootstraps, if they would just put their nose to the grindstone,
right.
and that you know, it's every man for himself. We shouldn't worry about these folks.
Well, and part of it too is that mental health, and that's an illness. You know, if somebody's got diabetes and their, you know, neuropathy in their feet, there's a lot of things they have hidden diseases. You know, it's not that they're in a wheelchair. That you can see. But you can't see mental illness. You can't see diabetes. You can't see heart problems. And a lot of these guys have some severe physical ailments as well as the mental health.
We're talking to Ralph and Linda Larson Schlitz, the co-founders of Randall Homes. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones. Francis in Manitouish Waters, you're on Route 51.
Hello. I had the honor of meeting Linda this weekend. We were down in Wausau for a weekend and went to the thrift store that was there. And she was very outgoing and friendly and told us all about her program. And she had a gentleman there whose name is Tom who is in training for customer service to work there. And he was trying really hard to, you know, learn his job. And the pride that emanated from his face was amazing. Then later on that afternoon, we went to their other thrift store over on Sherman Street. And all the gentlemen that work there, I found, were living in the home. And every one of them was very helpful, very friendly, came up to us, asked if we needed any help, which you don't find in a lot of big department stores anymore. You don't find that level of commitment. Well, I think the big thing that these people are giving these homeless veterans and people of addiction is pride, and that is absolutely priceless, and I commend you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You were such a blessing to him. I'll tell you, I have never seen Tim want to get up and do what he's working every day. He called me at 7 o'clock the next morning and had this whole new idea of what he was going to say and how he was going to say it. And so thank you. You're the lady that tipped him an extra dollar, aren't you?
Yes.
Thank you. That just, he's there every day now and he's just loving it. He got creative and he put a tip cup out the next day. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And also, I was just kind of listening to the program, you know, give out information about, you know, like if people could send money where they could send it to and things like that. And because I still have your card and I'm going to be doing something to help you out.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Our website's got all kinds of things about the different people on there and our different programs and how you can order things and buy online. So randlandhomes.org is where you can find all that information.
Francis, thanks so much for the phone call. That's randlandhomes.org. Ralph and Linda Larson Schlitz of Randland Homes, my guests today on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to talk about Randland Homes or the problems of homelessness, chemical dependency, and specifically homeless veterans in our community, 1-800-780-9742.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guests, Ralph and Linda Larson Schlitz of Randland Homes. And let's go back to the phones right now. We have, let's see here. I believe we have Mike and Lake DeFlambeau. Mike, you're on Route 51.
Good afternoon. I put forth a plan some years ago for a homeless program, and this woman was talking about 1 year, and you guys were talking about 1 year. I think 1 year is too short. I think it should be a 5-year program with extended kinds of services and allow the people who graduate from it to stay there and teach other people, you know, how to stay in the program, stay sober, get jobs, and be a part owner in the program. That's the concept that I had thought about.
I agree with you, Mike, and we actually have one gentleman that's been with us for 8 years. We don't have a time limit for them to have to go. So if they want to do that, and that's what is kind of developing, sometimes it seems like they're sabotaging themselves so they don't have to leave, because if they're not doing well, we don't boot them out. We just keep trying to work with them. So I agree with you, and boy,
I need to contact, how to contact you people.
Again, it's randlinhomes.org.
Spell it R-A-N.
R-A-N-D-L-I-N-H-O-M-E-S.org, or I'll give you the phone number, 715-298-3700.
298-3700. 3700.
Yeah. Mike, thanks so much for the phone call. I want to squeeze in one more call here, and let's go to, I believe it's Marv.
Yes, sir.
And Marv, what community are you calling from?
I live in Hayward, Wisconsin.
And Marv, your question for Ralph and Linda Larson-Schlitz.
Well, I have kind of have a street ministry in Duluth, Minnesota, and I've been going there for maybe 18 years. And I'd say 90% of the men on the street are veterans,
mm-hmm.
and they're very proud,
mm-hmm.
and they're begging for recognition for their service to their company, their country. I do a cookout. The Damiano Center and the Union Gospel Mission are closed on Memorial Day and Labor Day. And I do a cookout on the street up there on Memorial Day. And they're asking, is this because we're veterans? I'm like, well, no, it's because of the love of Jesus in my heart for you guys. And I realize you're at your wit's end. And I don't know what the key is to changing their situation.
Marv, thanks so much for the call. I'm going to have to let you go because we're running into the very tail end of the show right now, and I want to give Ralph and Linda Larson-Schlitz a chance to respond. Thanks so much for the phone call.
You bet.
Well, and Marv, no matter who's listening, if you do have people that are serious about wanting to get their lives in order and changing and becoming a part of being a positive solution to the problems that they and others have, please refer them. We don't have a limit to where we take people. We've had referrals from San Francisco and Texas and all over. So we don't eliminate anybody from being considered at our program.
And in just our last minute or so here, why don't you give me one or two success stories?
Well, one of them you mentioned from that song, Troy Johnson came out of prison. He was a Vietnam veteran who was injured there, and he ended up going to prison because he came out of Vietnam addicted to heroin. He was with us, our first graduate. He became the first African American in Wausau to have his own business. We started the hot dog stand. Troy bought it. He has it right down by the VFW, and that's a success story. He's living well, working at the VFW, owns his own business, and came out of a really bad situation.
And Ralph, what gives you a personal sense of gratification seeing what your organization has been able to do over the past 10 years?
It's seeing that person that he's gotten clean and he's gotten sober, and he goes out there and he stays that way. I had a personal gentleman that moved down to Kansas, and he came up here and he stopped through a couple years ago, and he said, wanted to say thank you because he had helped. He had come through our program, and he's still clean and sober and worked in the school system to this day.
Ralph and Linda Larson Schlitz, so thanks so much for being with us. The hour has gone by very quickly.
Thank you, Glenn.
And thanks, Glenn.
Good luck to you. If you want to find out more about the organization, you can check out their website, randlinhomes.org. That's RANDLINHOMES. You can also reach them at 715-298-3700. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Crystal Bennis. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by John Prine. Next Thursday on Route 51, it's our annual Halloween show. We welcome Sean Blaschka, Ann Spialik, and Sharon Abitz of the Wausau Paranormal Research Society, co-authors of the newly released book Haunted Wausau, The Ghostly History of Big Bull Falls. Route 51 can be heard every Thursday at 5 p.m. on the Ideas Network stations in north-central Wisconsin. You can also follow our adventures on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.